Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Gamertag Radio. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, we have the whole Gamertag Radio crew. Let's start out with Paris. What's going on, Paris?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, man. We have a lot of things to talk about today, man. A lot of topics, man. I'm excited. I'm excited for this, man. How about you, man?
Oh, I'm good. This has been a banner week on social media for me because I swear to God, everybody's mad at me for my opinion. So let's discuss. Yeah.
Let's do this. And also joining us this week is Pete. What's going on, Pete?
Yo.
What's up?
What's up, Pete?
What's up, man?
Are you ready for these topics that we have for this
episode? Yes, I am ready to break the internet. I'm ready to get people mad at me. Let's do it.
Ooh, let's do it. All right, so head over to GamerTagRadio.com, of course. Listen to our past episodes there. Also, search for us, any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Let me repeat that. Gamertag Radio. Subscribe, follow us, download our shows, share it with your friends. Help us grow. It's all up to you, the listener. Just make sure to share it, and it's going to help us out big time. And also, if you're listening through Apple Podcasts, post a review. It will help us out, climb to the top of the charts, and all that good stuff, man. So thank you.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so let's start out with this because I know I sent a list of topics to talk about, and you know, the guys, especially Paris, is like, no, let's start with this topic first. And let's talk about this first and then talk about the other topics. So I'm going to let Paris do an introduction and we'll go from there. Paris, it's all yours, man. Go for it.
Okay. So we're going to talk the Division 2. We're going to talk Operation Dark Hours. Title Update 3 came out earlier this week and or last week, and Operation Dark Hours, the very first raid for the Division 2, dropped on Thursday of last week. And all three of us have experienced it. None of us have cleared it yet. I don't think any of us have gotten past the first boss. And on a personal note, I'm very happy and fine with that, to be blunt about it. I spent about 5 hours yesterday banging my head against the wall against trying to clear Boomer. Got close a few times, that agonized, oh my God, there's only two, come on. And then we fail kind of thing. But you know what? We called it an afternoon and I felt good about it because we know the strategy. It was a great experience. It was a nice challenging experience. It wasn't too easy. It was great. Now, there's a lot of different things going on about this raid, which I'm sure we'll get into. But what I want to start with is something that I have been saying. I swear I've been saying this since last June, since we first found out there was going to be a raid in Division 2. And Dan, I'm not saying this to call you out, but I know you were against what I'm about to say. I said, don't do matchmaking in this. If you're going to do random matchmaking in a raid, it's going to be absolute chaos. Do not do it. It will be a terrible experience. I 100% guarantee it's going to be a terrible experience. Danny, you disagreed. A lot of people on Twitter apparently disagree with me because Massive came out and said that, hey, we're not going to do matchmaking. And three different times this week on State of the Game, they explained why they aren't doing matchmaking, which absolutely goes back to my point that it is one of the pinnacle in-game activities you can do in a game like The Division or Destiny, World of Warcraft, whatever the case may be. It requires precise communication, coordination. You everyone has to be working together. And even more so than Destiny. Destiny, six people. Hell, this is eight people having to work together as one, right? So I was saying this forever. obviously, I was very vocal about that this week. And I swear to God, everyone and their freaking mom came out of the woodworks on Twitter to tell me how wrong I was. It's a choice. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. You haven't even played this raid yet. You can't compare it to Destiny, blah, 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 blah. Because obviously, I've been playing Destiny for 4+ years. I've hundreds of hours in their raids that I have, right? So I feel that I have the experience and I am an expert enough to give an opinion on this without even seeing Operation Dark Hours. Now, we have played Operation Dark Hours at this point. Shout out to Marco Style and those guys on that team. They got worlds first. They did it in 5 hours. Fantastic job by them. Great. I believe as of this recording, one console on yes. PlayStation 4, one team on PlayStation 4 has actually cleared it. There definitely seems to be some issue between PC and console completing this raid, but that's another discussion. Back to this. So they did a clear. A lot of people are banging their head against the wall with Boomer, but it's funny. Even going into Marco's stream, I went into Cathalion's stream. I just watching various streams on that World's First. What are you seeing in the comments over and over again? Oh man, I'm glad they didn't do matchmaking on this. This would be crazy. Blah, 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 blah. That's just what you're seeing, right? In the comments, you're hearing people that are actually playing it go, oh my God, thank God they didn't do matchmaking. It would be crazy, right? Like I said, Danny, I'm just going to call it out. Danny even said, oh man, we had two randoms in there and that was, oh, it was a freaking terrible experience, right? Me yeah. playing yesterday with a group of 8 people that I know, you know, hey, we hopped on the struggle bus trying to figure it out, which is fine. But going back to the original point, Massive and Bungie made the decision to not do matchmaking in a raid because they realize it's not going to work. You cannot throw 8 random people together and expect them to have the precise coordination that you're going to need in the communication. You're going to have Stoner Boy 420 that's going to be blasting his music in the background and not listening and doing his own thing. And that's just going to create a terrible experience, right? Because when you do these raids, you need a singular voice to kind of be the leader of the group to kind of dish out assignments. Everyone has to know their assignment and their role in there. And all it takes is one person to go off script, wipe, done. So yeah, you can't have random, and keyword here, random matchmaking. You can't just throw 8 people together. What you do need, which is what Massive said they're going to do, they're going to work on an in-game LFG solution. LFG is look for game. So, or look for group. So when you do that, you're having prerequisites put together. Got to have a mic, got to speak English. Cause yo, I've had times in the past where I've done LFG and people are in there speaking Portuguese or something. It's like, I don't know what the hell you're saying. That's not going to work. You all got to be on the same page. You all got to have the time commitment to be able to do a raid, because sure, once everyone knows the strategies and they blow through it in 30 minutes, whatever. But if you're truly going to commit to a raid and do it blind, you're going to be committing hours upon hours trying to figure out these mechanics and these puzzles, right? So I find it hilarious for me personally that Massive comes out, they do 3 different videos letting you know why they didn't do it. I mean, like I said, I went on Twitter. Now the people are like, what, you didn't play it? I have played it now. And I said, again, don't do matchmaking. It's going to be freaking chaos. Do not do it. People are still jumping on my timeline telling me how wrong I am. And look, I'm going to say this directly into the camera because we're on live on Twitch. You have obviously never done a raid in your freaking life if you think that random matchmaking is going to be a good idea in a Destiny raid or now even in a Division raid. It will not work. You can argue this until you're freaking blue in the face, but I 100% guarantee you, go just find 7 other random people and be like, hey, let's just go do this. Chaos. Chaos. I guarantee freaking it. That's why, at a minimum, I am not saying matchmaking is a bad idea in a raid, but you need matchmaking that has been refined and tuned to have prerequisites that you know you're getting people together that are going to be on the same page to be able to complete it. That's all I'm saying. And if you want to argue with me on my timeline, let's do it, because I'll argue this all day because I feel very strongly about it, because if you go in and do this randomly, you're going to have a terrible experience. And then if you are a quote, because people, well, you're telling casual people to get good. Of course, I'm not saying that. You can be a casual player and do a raid. But if you are a casual player who've never experienced this before, do you really want your first experience to be freaking chaos with some dude blasting hip hop in the background and smoking weed and not listening to anything you're saying? Do you really want that? It's not going to work. That's all I'm saying. So we.
What do you got against people smoking weed, though, man?
Yeah, because you're not going to be focused on the test. But the point is this. Bungie has not done it in 4+ years. Now Massive is not doing it as well. So they're wrong, but you've never done it at all, but you're right. Makes no sense to me. That's all I'm saying. We can argue this until the end of time, but end of the day, if you truly want to commit to do a raid and you want to do it the right way, here's my advice. If you feel that strongly about it, make the effort, go out, find other people, get a group together and go do it. It's really that simple. To sit here and argue over and over again why the developer is not holding your hand through the process to find people for you, you don't want to do the raid, because the raid is meant to be a hard and challenging activity. It's not meant to be a random strike or something where you don't have to talk or communicate and you can blow through it in 10 minutes. That's not what a raid is. So if you don't like what I say, sorry, but that's just the truth.
But just think about it. And my rant is over. And just think about it. Yeah. If you have people focused on a raid, and you've got 8 people, and in a game like, and in a raid like this, yeah, we saw people like Marco's team do it with 7 at the end. But at the end of the day, you're going to need a minimum of at least 8 coordinated high min max players who know what they're doing and are coordinated. By doing a matchmaking, all that person needs to do is bounce out. And then your team is screwed, and then you got to start over, right? So that gives them an opportunity to leave out, to get out. So I'm not going to say much anymore after this, because I know Dan, you know, I know Paris, you and I are both in the same boat. You know, we've both been yelling, we need we don't need matchmaking. You just need, and again, I know Massive is working on an LFG. If you need to meet up, or you need people to join you, or you need to join people. Yeah. Go to the Ubisoft forums, join a random join a Division 2 based Discord or a variety Discord like ours. Plug, you know, so that you can meet up with people who are interested in participating in the raid, regardless of what the platform you're on. Yes, there does appear to be a PC tiered experience. And that is one thing I'd like to talk about with you guys after this, after I'm done. But at the end of the day, you're going to need just as much participation in joining a community so that you can participate in the raid as you will be when once you're in there. This isn't something that you can just jump in and jump out and you'll be done before dinner. No. It took what, 10 hours at least for one group on console, and it took another one 36 combined hours in general to finish the raid. Get ready.
One thing, because Danny, I know you want to jump in and give your thoughts. I just want to tell a quick little story. Take it way back in the day. So Destiny, obviously they didn't have matchmaking in a raid. I didn't get my first clear with Vault of Glass. It wasn't with friends. It was me going onto Destiny Destiny Reddit and going to their LFG page, Fire Teams, and finding a group to do it with. Finding 5 other like-minded people that wanted to clear Vault of Glass, and we bonded, worked together, and we cleared it. I've done LFG so many times before I actually joined a clan in Destiny to be able to raid, because it's something I wanted to do, right? So I wasn't on Twitter ranting and raving why Bungie wasn't holding my hand to be able to do it. I did something about it. I found the tools to go do it. I'm not saying it's the ideal situation. Of course, people would love an in-game solution. That's why Bungie tried guided games, and hell, 3 years later, it's still in beta status, right? That doesn't work. You need a real LFG component inside these games to group people together. I'm not saying you got to be best friends with someone to complete a raid. You can complete a raid not knowing the person, but you need to make sure that the people you're doing it with are committed to the in-game goal of finishing it, that have the time commitment, that is willing to communicate, that is willing to actually freaking listen, because I swear to God, people on the internet don't want to listen to anything, me included sometimes. But you got to have that time commitment. You got to be able to coordinate these things. And that is why Bungie and Massive aren't just randomly throwing it out there, because I'm going to tell you right now, you know what's going to happen? Say Massive put out random matchmaking on this raid. I'm going to tell you right now, the forums, Reddit, Twitter would be littered with people bitching and moaning that this is too hard. Why did you make it this way? We can't do this. This is an impossible task. This raid is horrible. I'm never doing it again. That's what would happen. And that's why Bungie hasn't done it in 4+ years. And that's why Massive isn't doing it now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll say this because I know we got to change topics, but look, that night I got together with, you know, Arctic, D, Dirt, a bunch of people. We got together from the GTR clan, and I think we were missing like two more, right? So we were by the helicopter and right next to the White House, and I was like, oh, people are hitting me up. They're sending me messages, random folks that were there. And they were like, hey, are you doing the raid? I was like, yeah, sure. Join us. We're missing two. I was like, perfect. I could bring my friend. So they came in. We start playing it. First of all, I'm telling them, okay, let's all go together. Let's wait. You know, do we get to the island? Not the island, but like to the airport. And they like start running without us. I'm like, okay. Then I'm telling them, let's stay with the group. They were the whole time doing their own thing, not caring what the hell we were saying. And then we get to the boomer, the first boss, right? We were there for like a good hour or so, I think. At the end, one of them quits, so we're missing one person. And then the other one just was standing the whole time, and he wasn't playing anymore. I'm like, yo, we want to continue, but how are we going to continue if two random people just joined and bounced? You know, so I got super frustrated, though everybody else got frustrated, man, right? So I was like, you know what? Let's get the GTR members from our clan to see who wants to join. Two of them joined. And we were like on point. Communication was a lot better. Everything was just a lot better, man. But Paris, I know you said that I was wrong on all that stuff. But what I was saying was, I understand where people were coming from too. Like, in a way, yes, at first I was like, yeah, we need matchmaking, all that stuff, right? But then after a while, you know, I just understand where everybody was coming from. Like, they couldn't find friends. That's the part that I was defending too, man. You know, but after playing this, And getting more random people to join us, like, yo, I never want to go through that experience again, man, ever again.
Can we just hear that's you it, say like, we were right that matchmaking is wrong?
I just said that.
No. I just want to hear that. The words. You were
that.
Right.
No, I just said that. And let's move on.
He won't say it. He won't say it. Just say it. You were right. Come on, just say it. Three words.
Let's
you
move
were
on.
Right.
That's it. You were right. I was wrong. That's it. I was
wrong. I'll take that. And look, I get what you're saying, Danny. Again, we don't want to beat this dead horse because I do think beyond the matchmaking thing, an issue we're seeing right now with Operation Dark Hours is there's clearly something about the mechanics that favors a mouse and keyboard over a controller.
Yep.
Right? Because I mean, they're already doing 30-minute speed runs.
22 and 23 minutes on PC.
Yeah. But we only got one clear in the entire world on a console, and that's two.
There's one that did it in 10 hours, one that did it in 36 hours. So
okay, but those are two. But separate the point ones is this: the point is this. That doesn't matter. The point is this: there's a problem.
Oh, right? Still a major. That's what I'm trying to say. There is definitely a major disparity. Now, my question is: and this is something I asked you guys in the chat, and y'all kind of gave me the Heisman, and maybe you guys were waiting. How do we fix it? Like, and obviously we're not game developers. We don't know the mechanics and the magic and the sorcery that the folks at Massive do behind closed doors. But what are some of the things that they should do? Do you think that they should maybe tweak it and cater it to make it not so specific or, you know, not so targeted towards PC? Like, for lack of a better word, should they dumb it down for the console players?
No.
Okay, here what I want Massive to do, and whoever's been working on the raid, I want them to test it out on a console instead of using a controller plug into the PC. I want them to play.
Yeah, but we don't know that.
You don't know that they're not doing that.
We can't say that. That's you're speculating.
Yeah.
Because people are mad on the internet and they've been complaining and saying that. But
no,
I would find it hard to believe that they have not play tested this on a PlayStation 4 or on an Xbox. I would find that hard to believe, to be honest.
I mean, it's good to ask. It's good to ask.
Of course. Massive needs to answer this.
Yeah. But honestly, at the same time, I'm afraid that the developers are going to make it way too easier too. I don't want that either.
Or they may not do anything at all.
Honestly, I think that's the right thing.
not to do anything.
Yeah,
but they should talk about it in the next stream.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure that next State of the Union is going to address it at some point.
State of Union,
or sorry, State of the Game. State of the Game. It's they're going to. They need to address it, right? If they're, you know, they've done such a phenomenal job with communication, you know, over the years, especially now with the Division II, especially since they announced it. That's the last thing to do is to ghost out and not talk about it. But it's going to take time to address it. It's not like they can just go up and hit the easy button. You know, they can't slap the Staples easy button and fix it. You know, it's going to take work and it's going to take effort from a lot of people, right? It's going to take communication, coordination, just like a raid. So let's just see how much participation we get from the console community and what are the recommendations going to be moving forward to correct this and not just fix this, you know. And, you know, there's so far the complaints that we've heard are poor frame rate issues on console versus PC, recoil and aim assist issues. Is it because on keyboard and mouse, you're able to pinpoint and hit that target?
Yes.
Is that the major component of the issue?
I mean, think about it. Just on Boomer as an example, it is a lot easier to hit that chess piece with a mouse than it's going to be with an Xbox controller. That's just a fact. You know what I mean? So
that's true. It's more
of those things. Again, they're not going to change the raid. No way. But maybe
adjust the hitbox. Sure, maybe just adjust
exactly
the hitbox.
Adjust the hitbox. Increase the aim assist a little bit on the console to kind of compensate for that. But the actual mechanics of what you're doing.
Oh, no, that's going to change. No, leave that'll the mechanics. That's the whole point of these puzzle style raid mechanic type matches. You want those things to force the coordination and the efforts of, you know, 6 to 8 folks. But yeah, I think maybe adjusting those hitboxes on Boomer's chest piece and back pieces, you know, would make things easier. I don't want them to start super buffing people once they jump into the raid so that they can do the appropriate. And I think that's the other thing. There's also a great video from MTash on YouTube why, you know, people's specific builds and gear scores might be perfect for when you're playing regular PvE style encounters, like you're doing this, you know, invaded strongholds and stuff like that. But when you go into the raid, you're not really built for that, right? You need your build might say, oh, well, you know, once you get a kill, your damage jumps up to X for 30 seconds. But in a raid, when everybody's running around, you're not, that's, you know, that perk or talent might be great for 4 people playing together, not for 8. So once now you have 8 people and you're not the one getting the kill, your talents don't proc. You know, and right now, I'm sorry if we're starting to go really division.
Yeah,
you know,
we got to wrap this up a little bit because we're going to think about
just because, you know, it might be great in an invaded stronghold. It may not be right for it. So,
Yeah, to just wrap it up real quick from my standpoint. The challenge is fantastic. I'm loving what I've played so far this raid. I can't wait to jump back in. But part of it, and I even tweeted this out too, I'm perfectly fine failing. That was fine because, like you just said, Pete, it taught me I need to change up my build a little more. I need to get some more DPS. I know the strategy. We just got to just go back in. We'll do a little more damage, be a little more precise. We'll clear it. We'll be fine. But that's part of what doing a raid is all about. Yep. I didn't have to have Worlds First on it. It's fine. Like Danny, you even said, man, I went to sleep dreaming about Boomer. Like, you son of a gun, I'm going to get you. You know what I mean? So that's fine. It's a fantastic thing. You know, kudos to Massive and all the other studios at Ubisoft that worked on this raid. I love it. Mm-hmm. It's another challenging experience that we can now look forward to. It's great.
All right, so let's go with the next topic because, you know, I don't want this to be Division 2 radio. But this is shocking. A couple of days ago, Microsoft and Sony announced a partnership for their cloud gaming that I believe that's going to start the next-gen PlayStation 5 console. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, how Google Stadia is going to change the game. Microsoft Cloud Game is also going to change the game. But Sony is going to have a lot of issues because they don't have the servers compared to like companies like Google and Microsoft. But now they're partnering with Microsoft to make this happen. And I think it was because the competition, man, especially with Stadia. And I hope we find out more information about Stadia during E3 because I haven't heard anything yet if they're going to be there or not. But I think they are going to be there on the low. But your opinions, guys, about this major announcement, you know, instead of announcing it at the press conference at E3, we find out now a couple weeks before E3. What are your thoughts about all this, man?
I don't think this was really something that Microsoft was going to go on their stage and crow about. This is more because this goes beyond just Xbox. This is basically Sony hopping on Azure, you know, for their cloud technology, because as we've said a million times, Sony doesn't have the infrastructure in place to be able to do it, whereas Google obviously does. But a lot of people assumed that if Sony was going to jump in and partner with someone, they'd most likely do it with Amazon, hop on AWS, or maybe they would hop on with Google, but obviously Google's doing Stadia, but they're not going to work directly with their competitor in Microsoft and Xbox on the gaming thing. I mean, it's shocking, but it also makes sense in that Sony's like, look, we got to partner with someone. They obviously feel that Microsoft with Azure, with their xCloud, what they're doing is the better of the technologies, or the one that makes more sense. So they're hopping on the one that they think is the winner. And obviously Microsoft is looking at this from a business standpoint, because remember, they're an enterprise. They do more than just gaming. So from a business standpoint, of course it makes sense that Microsoft is like, hey, Sony, you want to come on and jump on this wagon? Come on board. We're fine with it. You know what I mean? So if anything, this is a win for Microsoft in my eyes, because it goes to show that Sony believes in their technology over anything that Amazon or Google could be currently doing.
I'm honestly surprised. I honestly thought that if there was going to be a partnership, they would have done AWS, because AWS is the de facto leader in cloud technology. And so the same way you said that they weren't going to work with the enemy by going with working with Google and their cloud, but they're going to work with Microsoft and Azure, I was surprised. I mean, hey, it goes to show that it's, like you said, it's not just about the video games, right? It's much more far reaching, right? Because they, you know, Microsoft does do the enterprise space in general. They're not just the Xbox, right? They're not just Microsoft Office. They touch everything. But it is a show of support for Microsoft that shows that, you know, their technology has matured to the point where it is where Sony, you know, if Sony's going to invest, you know, they did their due diligence to see who's going to do it, you know, who's going to be the best partner for them. And, you know, Sony, you know, kudos to them, you know, to keep that stuff on the sideline. Now, that doesn't mean that there's going to be crossplay, but it does open up the door for possibilities, right?
Yeah, I see that. I see that big time, man. Now, let's go to the next topic. Pete.
Uh-oh.
Call of Duty guy. Call of Duty guy, man.
Oh, no. Am I really the Call of Duty guy anymore?
Well, let's stick with that. Let's stick with that, though. So Sledgehammer was working on the next Call of Duty for 2020, mm-hmm. right? I heard there's some lot of drama behind the scenes that Activision was like, you know what? Let's cancel that. Let's get Treyarch to take over the project and continue working on that to release it for 2020. Your thoughts about this announcement that basically they canceled Sledgehammer to work on the Call of Duty for next
year.
Well,
think about it. It's not, that was random. It's not just Sledgehammer. Remember, Activision has several studios working on Call of Duty stuff, right? It's Raven Studios working on it as well. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the timeline, it's been Treyarch, Infinity Ward, Sledgehammer, Treyarch, Infinity Ward, Sledgehammer, Treyarch, Infinity Ward. Mm-hmm. I think a big reason as to why Sledgehammer and Raven have been pulled off of main title duties and slid and pushed over to the support role has a lot to do with what happened last year when Glenn Schofield and Michael Condrey left. Michael Condrey left to go head up a new studio, I think for Activision or Take-Two.
2K.
Okay, I knew it was 2K. One of those two. But when the two major stalwarts of your organization leave, it's going to leave the rest of that company in disarray for a short period of time. And while they may have done, you know, some yeoman work towards the next title release, I think this may have been a smarter move in general. Yes, it does. There are negative connotations to it because, you know, now you have all these people who were now in a primary AAA title development phase. Now they're being pushed over, but this might not be a bad thing to have Treyarch and Infinity Ward take it over, and let Sledgehammer, you know, just support the title, you know, post launch, or, you know, working on DLC, or just adding resources in general to the development cycle. Yes, it's going to suck because they've put in a lot of work, and, you know, they're coming up on almost gold time, right? You know, it's titles were set to release later this year.
This is for next year.
2020.
Next year's game.
Still.
Yeah, 2020. Not still, for this year. Yeah.
Knowing that they had that three year gap to work on, they've put, what, 2 years now? Almost? A year and a half, 18 months, maybe, of development time towards the new Black Ops. Yeah, it's probably going to suck for them that they've now been shifted off of, you know, primary duty and pushed to the role, you know, pushed to the role as a backup on the bench. But I don't think it's a surprising move, simply because, you know, again, Glenn Schofield and Condrey leaving, that's not a good thing.
All right, we're going to take a short break. And once we come back, we have more topics here on Gamertag Radio. We'll be right back after this.
I love how I didn't get to say anything about Call of Duty. Thanks.
No.
Leave that in the show, too.
Yeah. All right.
because there was clarification on that. They aren't outright canceling that Call of Duty game. What's happening is Treyarch is going to work on fix the multiplayer, but Raven and Sledgehammer is going to stay in place to finish up that campaign. But like Pete said, the chaos is basically, it's basically Infinity Ward all over again. The founders of the studio left to go create a new studio. All the top talent from that studio, speaking of Sledgehammer, left to go work, you know, at 2K. So you got mid-level people, probably got bumped up to be leads, couldn't handle it. The game's not going to be ready in time. So Activision obviously pivoted. Now Treyarch has to basically work on two Call of Duty games at the same freaking time. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
Oof. And I just heard a crash, so you guys keep talking, and I'll be right back.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right. So let's talk about this news about Borderlands, the next Borderlands game. Pete? I know you mentioned it in our chat. What is it you want to talk about?
Okay.
The latest news about Borderlands.
Well, it's not just Borderlands 3, but it is related to them. So I think it was Thursday. So I saw that publishers are pulling their games off of the Epic's game store. Seemingly because Epic had this massive sale where they were taking $10 off of basically every title in the store. Anything over $15. And automatically applying a $10 coupon to that without telling the publisher. So think about it. If you're going to have a negotiated business, and I can understand it for maybe lower tier games, you know, as a way to help bolster or improve sales. But now when you've got games like Borderlands, you can grab for $15. Vampire Bloodlines 2, you can grab for, you know, for a lot lower cost. Mm-hmm. Without telling the publisher that you were going to apply a discount, which means that whatever dollar savings they were going to make by shifting their exclusivity deals to the Epic Game Store is now out the window, because now you've just given that money away. And so that's not cool. And Epic basically shut down their store for a short period of time. I don't think that this is obviously a good look. Epic Game Store in general has gotten some serious shade over the last couple of months with regards to their exclusivity deals with everybody. And yes, while it's great for the pubs and the developers that are, you know, pushed, that are putting their games out on them on their game store, this is definitely not a good look. I would still like to see a little bit more functionality in that Epic Game Store. And while yes, it does help create parity in the marketplace, I'm still not 100% comfortable with using it. I really don't have a lot of titles on Epic that I go to. So again, that's just a personal preference, but this is not cool. And I don't think it's a good thing for them to do, especially if they're not going to communicate that to their partners.
I find that super strange them to do that. Not saying anything, no communication.
Yeah. How do you automatically take money out of your partner's pocket without telling them?
Yeah, that's a little shady in my opinion. But yeah. Hey, you know, Paris, do you have any opinion about this before we go to the next topic?
I don't like your sarcasm on that, and I do have just a quick opinion on that. No, I'm with Pete. Here's the thing with Epic. I feel like they're doing a lot of good things to kind of push the digital storefront, just, you know, developers getting more money in their pocket. They're doing a good thing when it comes to that. But it's kind of, but when you do things like this, it's like you take one step forward, but then you take two steps back. This is why everyone hates what Epic is doing right now. This is why Epic isn't viewed in a positive light by the majority of people out there right now, because of stuff like this. And then you're upsetting the developers, you're upsetting other publishers, they're ripping their stuff off the store back and forth. You're creating these exclusive deals. Like, I forget, is it Outer Worlds? I think, I forget the game, but there's a game that was funded by Kickstarter to be on Steam. And then because Epic slid up into DMs and offered them a better deal, all of a sudden they went over to the Epic store and they pissed off the backers of the game, all this kind of stuff. So there's all these weird tactics that's coming from Epic right now that I just don't 100% agree with. But I get what they're trying to do. They're just executing it very poorly, if that makes sense. They need to be more transparent and open about this. They need to, like, again, they're sponsoring the PC Gamer Show at E3, you know, yep, the press conference or whatever. Everyone's mad about that because of stuff like this. They feel like all it is going to be a giant advertisement for Epic, for the Epic Store. Nobody wants that. You know what I mean? But at the same time, they're funding the PC Gamer press conference to make sure that it still goes on this year. Maybe if they don't step in and fund it, maybe it doesn't happen. It's things like that. So there's the good, there's the bad. I try to see the positive in it, but there's a lot of nonsense around it that just clouds everyone. What they're trying to do is what I'm trying to say. So I don't know. It's unfortunate. Hopefully, you know, this will be the thing that finally gets them to just be a little more transparent about what they do. And honestly, stop doing these exclusive. I personally don't care. I want to be clear about that, because I don't care if it's Uplay, Steam, or whatever. If the game's good, I'm going to play it. But obviously, people are having an issue with these exclusive deals that they're doing, and they need to be a little more transparent about it, and they need to do something that, all right, you're supporting these developers to encourage people to come over to the Epic Store, but you're not ripping that same game away from the Steam community or the Origin community or the Uplay community or whatever the case may be. So I don't have the answer to it, but they can't keep doing it this way. Something has to change.
Paris, I think we got to talk about Super Mario Maker 2 before we go to the next topic, man. So I was watching the Nintendo Direct, because, you know, I'm super curious. I love the last game that came out for the Wii U and also for the 3DS. So I was like, all right, let me see what's new in this game. And, you know, at first when I was watching the Nintendo Direct, I felt like it was very slow the first few minutes. I was like, okay, all right, man. But after that, they started. Nintendo started talking about, like, the new features and everything that is new in the game, and it's like, wow, so much content within the couple minutes. It was just breaking down. You could do this. You could do this. You could add this and that. So look, I'm a person that I can't create stuff like that. Like, I can't create levels. I don't have the patience for that. But I love to go online and just download content from everybody that have been uploading. And then they're taking their time and all that stuff. Like, I feel like there's going to be some really tough battles there, man. So Mario Maker, there's different styles right now that you could create stuff from the original Mario, Super Mario 3, Super Mario World, and a couple other ones. I know there's one more that I haven't announced yet, but I think that's going to happen during E3. We're going to talk about some stuff about E3 in a few minutes, but I just love the amount of things that you could do in the game, that it is worth it, man. $59.99, you could buy a Nintendo Switch and buy that game, and you're good for a couple of years, man, because there's going to be so much content. It's never going to get old. So much creation from the community. They're going to be uploading that all the time there, man. So I'm super, super excited to get that game for the Nintendo Switch, man. Paris, I know you had the last game too, right? For the Wii U?
Yeah. My son still plays it. excuse me.
Yeah.
My thing is, like I told you offline, quite honestly, this might be the game of the year. I mean, it might be the game of the year. It's, if you love platforming and you obviously love just Mario Brothers over the past 30 years, man, this is going to be made. Look, I am not talented enough to create a level. My level would just be, okay, jump, do get on the flag. You win. That would be it, because that's about as creative as I can be. But, mm-hmm. yo, I'm going to live on that online hub. I'm just going to be there. All the top levels, all the insane things that people are going to be able to create. Imagine, you know, obviously live in the world of Twitch and all that. Now, imagine the streaming community that's going to be built around this game. Just watching people just do these insane challenges of like these top levels, and just the creativity that's going to come out of Mario Maker 2 just has me so excited. And the fact, like you already said, is it's going to be over so many different versions of the game. That's what gets me excited about it. There's just going to be so many insane combinations of things that people are going to be able to pull off with Mario Maker 2 that, man, I mean, it's going to be so good. So freaking good. And like, yeah. I said, if you are a fan of the Mario platforming games over the years, this is just an absolute love letter to that. Like I said, this, in my opinion, when Jeff Keighley gets on that stage in December, this is going to be one of those games up there, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be that good.
And not only that, Paris, the last game didn't have no online multiplayer.
That's what I'm saying. The multiplayer, all that, dude. So much.
It's going to be sick. It's going to be sick. Now, here's a little thing that a lot of people didn't notice. But you watched the whole thing, right, Paris?
Yeah.
The whole Nintendo Direct. Pete, do you watch it or no? The Nintendo Direct? Pete's quiet. Maybe he's on mute.
Totally muted. Yeah, totally muted. But no, I did not watch it, so.
No. All right, so I'm watching it, right? So there's a part, and look, anybody that's listening, go to the 11:06 mark of the stream of the Nintendo Direct. Pause it. You're going to see a quick flash of a logo that says Super Famicom. Now, why would Nintendo do that?
Showing history?
Randomly,
showing deference to the history of the console?
No. Pete, no. What they were doing is teasing what's going to happen at E3. You see the logo, Super Famicom, right? When you pause it, 11:06, if you flip the time, what's going to happen on 6/11 next month during E3? That's the Nintendo Direct of E3, of Nintendo, during the week of E3. So what I think what's going to happen is they're going to announce Super Nintendo, that you could play Super Nintendo games on the Nintendo Switch that day, available that day right after the Nintendo Direct press conference or whatever you want to call it. So I'm excited about that. I think that's going to happen. 100% that's going to happen. Because I love how Nintendo's now teasing little videos, like little things here and there. So I think that's going to be a big thing if that happens, man. So Paris, you want the Virtual Console for a long time, been a couple years. This could be it, man. I know they have the NES, but now they're adding Super Nintendo.
It's GameCube
and everything. Yeah, GameCube and Nintendo 64. That I would like to see that for Nintendo Switch. I think it's time, man. But yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about. All right. So are we ready for E3 predictions? Are you guys ready or what?
Let's go.
Oh, wow. Okay, Pete. What the hell was that? All right. All right, here goes. And it's time for E3 predictions.
Hey, darling, this is certified psychic Miss Leo. The guys at Gamertag Radio have pulled me out of retirement to give them some free readings. So I've been using the power of the tarot cards to look into the future, baby. You hear me?
Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
All right. Who would like to start, man? Because mine is, you know, Danny Secrets. Sometimes could go a little bit crazy and deep. Who wants to start first with the E3 prediction of Xbox?
Okay, I think I'll start it off here.
Here it goes.
I'm going to start off with what we already know, right? Halo Infinite, we already know. Gears 5, we know because good old Gears Viking on Twitter, Rod over at the Coalition yesterday talked about kind of, you know, prepping and getting everybody ready for Gears 5, talking about they've been playing it, nobody else has, so, you know, big middle fingers to those that aren't working there. I think we're going to see Borderlands 3 there at the Xbox conference because they have the marketing deal. We know Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order is going to be there because of a marketing deal. I'm pretty sure we're going to see an actual formal name reveal and release date and everything else for Project Scarlet Devices. Now, mm-hmm. I think we're going to see, here's where we start going into the prediction things. We're going to see the new Fable get announced. I think it's going to be done by Playground Games, and here's my reasoning behind it and why. Good old Aaron Greenberg, head of marketing over there, has been talking about them, saying that they've been working on something different, a really, really big, big game. Then they started hiring folks based on LinkedIn, talking about they had a AAA, they were working on AAA open world RPG. I think it's going to launch alongside whatever Project Scarlet actually ends up being as a formal name. I think that's going to be, you know, and yes, this is going to be totally different from what Playground Games has been doing, because obviously they've been the Forza team, but with them working on a totally different game, I think this is a great opportunity for them. I think we're finally going to get the reveal of what Ninja Theory, their big acquisition from the last year, they're going to have their announcement. They did just register a trademark for Bleeding Edge. So I don't know if that's going to be their engine or if that's going to be the title of their new team or their new title. So we're looking for that. And then here I'm going to go, I know that Rare has been what they've been, you know, this has been what they've been using to do Sea of Thieves. I think they're going to pull back and they're going to touch upon another classic, and it's going to be Conkers. Part of me wanted to say Banjo-Kazooie, because I think that'd be a dope way for them to give kudos to the classic titles, but I think we're going to see a new Conkers title.
That's it.
Okay. All right. Paris, you want to go next? Or?
Sure. I will go next. Like I said, yeah. And we've already had this debate a little bit, so I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to talk about the Microsoft press conference, the media briefing. They're going to kick it off with Gears 5. Right? So we kick it off with Gears 5. That just to lead the show. They put a date on it. Here's where it's coming out. The rumor is potentially September, but I think Gears 5 is going to be a little more in depth than we realized from the past Gears games. You know, obviously Gears 4 being the last one. I think we're going to explore more customization features as far as just what our weapons, the gear, that whole thing, to kind of truly make your character yours versus someone else you're playing. Obviously, there's going to be the co-op component. They're going to do horde mode, all that stuff, PvP, etc. Mm-hmm. So I think we kick it off with Gears 5. We're obviously going to see the sequel to Ori. I do think that when we do see that sequel to Ori in the Blind Forest at the end, when they're saying it's playable on Xbox One, Windows 10, and Nintendo Switch, I think they all launch day and date together, just keep pushing that narrative. I think along those lines, we get a teaser towards the sequel to Cuphead. That'll also be day and date on Nintendo Switch. I think when we get into future games, we finally get the return of Joanna Dark. I think it happens. I think they finally tease it out. Coming this year? No. Coming next year? Maybe. Probably 2021, something like that. I think they'll do something unique with Forza this year. I don't think we get a full-on Forza. Is it 8? I think 8 would be now, because I think they'll hold that off until next year for the new-gen consoles. So in the interim, I think we get a full expansion to Horizon. You know, just to keep that going, to keep that alive. So I don't think we see a brand new Forza game, but we'll see new Forza content. When we get to Halo Infinite, we'll see more of it. They'll show it. We'll get fleshed out features of it, but they're still not going to put a date on it, because I'm convinced that launches with whatever Scarlet's going to be in 2020, right? Just makes sense. But what we do see will be very exciting. I also think they're going to further expand on the Master Chief Collection. Obviously, we know Reach is coming. It's coming to the PC, things like that. So I think we get more details on that and on what to expect. Again, I think Fable, obviously, is another thing that could potentially get teased. But, Danny.
Yes.
Are you sitting down?
Yes, I'm sitting down.
So, here's my Miss Leo. Yes. This year, not next year, not spring, this fall, Banjo-Kazooie is coming back, baby. And it's going to be a platformer, and I'm going to be in that crowd, and I'm going to start screaming, because I can't wait. Oh, my God. Banjo-Kazooie. I'm going to stick to it. We're finally getting Banjo. It's coming. We're getting Paris. The platformer we've always Paris. Wanted. It's coming.
Paris, you want me to tell you something about that?
No. Don't crush my dreams right now.
Just no.
Whatever you know.
You're right and wrong at the same time. Oh, right, okay. That is coming. Wrong, that's only going to be on Xbox this year. I think for next year.
Hey, this is my predictions.
I know.
You have your own. You jumping in trying to be a soul crusher. No.
You mentioned my name, so I had to come back and answer your...
No, because I want you to be excited with me, not suck the soul out of me.
But I agree. It's going to happen, but it's not for Xbox One. I think they're going to say that for Xbox One X. The next gen console, whatever. So
no.
All right. Are you ready for mine? You ready for mine?
No, I'm because I wasn't done.
Also, God damn it, hurry up.
Now I'm done.
I have other things to say. Oh, you know, punk. Now, here it goes. Let me put my Danny Secrets hat on. And I'm going to start with this. Pete, you're right. Fable. It's going to happen for next gen, 100%. They're definitely going to announce it at this E3 press conference. Another thing, Paris, I know you mentioned about Forza. There is a Forza game that's coming out. Well, it already came out now. Forza Street, I think it's called. But a Forza 8 Motorsport is not going to come out this year. It's coming out for the launch of the next gen console that is for next year. But here's the thing. I think that there is going to be an announcement of Forza, but it's going to be for Forza Street available for the Nintendo Switch. That's going to happen because that game is available for mobile and also now PC. So that's a 100% I think is going to happen. Perfect Dark, yes, I think that's going to be teased. It's not going to be from Rare. I think it's going to be from a totally different developers that's going to work on that. Also, I know Battletoads was announced a couple of years ago, right? Or was it last year or 2 years ago?
Last year.
I think that that game is not going to come out for the Xbox One. I think Microsoft is going to save that for next gen, have it for all platforms, but also have it available for the next console. I think that will be super smart. Also, I think that, yes, they are going to talk about the new console, right? Talk about the cloud gaming and all that. And it's going to be available, of course, for every device. But I think that's going to be the perfect time to see partnership with Nintendo. Nintendo on stage, man. Imagine the new president of Bowser to go on stage with Phil to talk about their partnership. Shut up. This is my predictions, not yours. And I'm just letting you know right now. I think that's going to happen. What also is going to happen the next day or whatever day that Nintendo is going to have their press conference or the Nintendo Direct, we also going to see a partnership with Microsoft on their Nintendo Direct. They're going to have an announcement there too. I can see games like, of course, Ori and the Blind Forest, but it's possible. It is possible that we might see either Game Pass or we might see games like Halo, all those games that came out for the Xbox 360, like Halo or Gears, I could see some of those games available for that console too, because I think it's the best way to get a huge audience in Japan. This is the best way possible for Microsoft to get a whole new audience, man, to start playing their games and have platformer games there too, have Fable, all those games that came out for the Xbox 360, have available for the Nintendo Switch, man. Yes, Paris? You interrupted, but go ahead.
I didn't say a word.
No, you were going like this. For those that are listening, he was having his hand up. He wanted to say something, but go ahead. Say something.
No, I have nothing to say. Continue, please.
Nothing?
Nope, nothing. Because unlike you, I'm not going to interrupt you. I'll let you go.
Oh, God. So I think that's going to happen. Banjo-Kazooie, yes, I think that's going to happen too. But not for this console. It's going to be for next gen. Now, is it possible that we might see a new unannounced game from Ubisoft at the Microsoft press conference? That's possible too. Why not? Because here's the thing, guys. Here's the thing. We haven't heard anything from Activision about the new Call of Duty game. The rumor is we're going to find out after E3. Now, there is a partnership with Sony and Activision for that game. I don't see Activision showing Call of Duty at the Xbox press conference at all. I don't see that happening at all. At all. Zero. So my question is there going to be anything new from Activision available at the Microsoft press conference? I don't know. I know I had this conversation with Paris that they're either going to end it, Microsoft is going to end the show with CD Projekt Red. I totally disagree. I think that's not going to happen. I think maybe Halo Infinite.
Okay, now I am interrupting you. See, yes. why are you putting my tea out there on the streets? We had this conversation in confidence and you put it out there. See, I didn't even say how I thought the show was going to end and you just betrayed me. Thank you.
Hey, it's my turn. It's my turn, okay? You called me out a few minutes ago. It's my turn now to do the same thing. So yeah, I think that's what's going to happen, man. Now, we might see some new IPs, man, from Microsoft, that from all the developers, all the studios, but it's going to be teasers, not fully like, okay, here's the gameplay, teasers for next gen. And I think we are going to see a lot more of the next gen console, a lot more. More than how, remember when Microsoft talked about Xbox One X? They had like the teaser video, they talked about the specs. I think it will be a perfect time to take advantage that Sony is not there at E3, get all the news coverage throughout the E3, and just announce it and just talk more about it instead of just, here's a teaser, 2020.
Well, I think 2020 goes a long way because we're seeing, like, for example, the Call of Duty announcement. Oh, we're, you know, that's going to get pushed to 2020. Why do you think 2020 is becoming that magic number? Because that's when everybody, I think, is going to push that next gen console, especially Microsoft. So take that into account when you start when we start making the predictions. And yeah, I think 2020 is now likely when we see, call it, you know, the CD Projekt Red, you know, with Cyberpunk 2077, 2020 to launch alongside the new hardware.
Now, here's the last one, and this is going to be kind of crazy.
Can I pause real quick? Wait, yes. When do you think Cyberpunk 2077 is coming out?
2020.
No, but when in 2020?
When?
I think it's going to launch alongside hardware. So
no. Negative. Okay, continue, Danny.
Negative.
You're wrong.
Negative. I don't believe in that either.
Okay.
But good. Nice try.
Okay. I'm never right anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Well, no, to be fair, they have already said that it will be on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. So
yes.
I don't think there's a mandate that it has to launch.
My dog just agrees. PlayStation 5.
Here's my last one right here. And this is where it's going to get a little bit tricky. I think that I could see Microsoft releasing the next gen console before PlayStation. And I mentioned this to Paris, and Paris said that was a little bit crazy, but
it is.
I think at first I told him, look, man, it's possible it'll be spring or maybe September of 2020 or maybe October, but just release it a couple months before PlayStation 5. I said that to Paris. Paris said, I agree September, October. I do not agree spring. But I had to throw it out there very quick. Go ahead, Paris.
Again, am I not allowed to speak for myself? You always put out what I say to you in the confidence.
That's how he comes up with his content, bro. He uses your content for his content.
No, but I'm giving him props. I'm giving Paris props.
He re-Parises it.
No, but this is what you're saying. Yeah, because first you were trying to say, oh, it was going to come spring 2020. I'm like, that is insane. They're not doing that.
Hey, it worked for Nintendo. It worked for Nintendo Switch.
We already had the conversation. I'm not going back there. But okay. Could I see September? Maybe. Doubtful. It's going to be November. I don't see Microsoft feeling a need that we got to get a one-month head start on the competition. That's really not going to do that much. Not to mention, when you think about some of the third-party games that are going to be quote-unquote cross-generational, I just don't see them trying to throw a brand new console in the chaos of what's going to most likely be September and October of 2020, when you're going to see things like most likely that new Assassin's Creed is going to come out, a Destiny 3 is going to come out, things like that. So I think you stick with the script that has been working since the early 2000s of November. I don't see that changing for either of them, to be honest with you.
Now, I forgot to add this, and I think we mentioned this a couple of times on our show, but I think that, yes, you can play next-gen games on your Xbox One X. That's possible, too. That's going to be the cheapest console if you really want to play next-gen games. I'm 100% going with that all the way, and I have my reasons, but... Paris P, if you want to agree, I know you agree, Paris. So.
Well, yeah, I've been saying this from the get. There's no way that they're retiring the Xbox One X. That piece of hardware is too powerful to not take advantage of it going into the next gen of gaming. Now that big microwave Xbox One from 2013, that thing's done. I don't really see them supporting that moving forward, but the One S and the One X will stick around. More specifically, the One X. The One X will, if I had to guess, will still be able to do some 4K gaming in the next gen. Probably some features and things will be dumbed down a little bit compared to their older brother and sister, you know, with these new consoles that are coming, but you'll still be able to play some form of 4K gaming in the next gen on that Xbox One X. It's not going to go away. And like you said, they'll market it as the cheapest option to be able to play Xbox games. It just makes sense.
And here's the advantage that Microsoft has right now. If they announce like multiple versions of their next gen console, because see the previous, this current gen PlayStation and Xbox, when they launched, it was only one version. That's it. The one before that, Xbox had, I think, two different versions. It was like but it was more of like hard drive space, storage. It wasn't about power or anything like that. So at least people had a choice if they want to buy the expensive one or the cheaper one. This time, you're going to have Xbox One X. You're also going to have the two other unannounced consoles from Xbox, and I know I mentioned this a couple years ago about the four SKU. It was funny at that time, but it all makes sense now, man. It all makes sense. But I know I'm never going to get props from that. But
no, you're not, because what you said back then is not what they're doing.
You can't push your narrative 4 years future towards the new generation.
Again, if you're listening and watching this, I know a lot of people laughed about it, but it's looking like it's making a lot more sense. And at the same time, the consumers are a lot smarter now. So it doesn't matter if there's multiple consoles at launch. At least you're going to have the choice. Cheaper, middle, expensive version. It's all up to you. And that's it. Anything else?
No. I'm
good. All right. So we're going to wrap it up here. All right. Head over to GamertagRadio.com and listen to our past episodes also. Share it. You can also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Even on Google, search Gamertag Radio, and you can listen our content through Google search engine, man. So that's a pretty cool feature that Google just added a couple days ago, man. So give us a call, 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. E3 is happening in a couple weeks. Make sure to continue to donate. Help us out. You know, we plan not only to go to E3, but also future events later this year, maybe next year, man. But it's all up to you, the listeners. So go to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Pete, you want to give shout outs to people that have been donating the past few days or what?
Yes, I can.
All right. Go for it, sir.
Shout out to Baby Boy, actually. He just subbed on the channel Prime for four months. Hey Trade Live, subscribe for 23 months, almost 2 years. Undying Breed with a tier one sub, 22 months. BMAC with the 3 month resub. Slick Rick, 9 month. One White Wolf, $20 donation. Cobalt Dragon, $20 donation. And Kenny T, $10 donation. Also, John Doe, $25 donation. Thank you very much.
Nice.
Thank you, everyone, cool. for helping getting us not just to E3, but for everything else to help pay for costs, whether it's for new equipment, travel expenses, gear to make, you know, our jobs easier to provide content for you guys and girls. Definitely. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Definitely, definitely. All right, we're going to wrap it up here. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.